Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show.
Yeah! Let it show.
Weird Wednesday, wake up, start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright.
Welcome to Weird Wednesday, guys. I appreciate you being here. Guys and gals, men and women, boys and girls, people of all ages, thank you for tuning in to another Weird Wednesday. I'm super glad you're here. I'm your host, Tony Merkel, host of the Confessionals podcast, and every other Wednesday we are live here on YouTube, Rumble, Instagram, X, and Facebook with Weird Wednesday Wake Up. Thanks for being here, friends. Hopefully your Wednesday is off to a good start. The kids aren't giving you too much lip, right? Because we don't need none of that nonsense up in here. You know, we're trying to get through the week. We're not trying to have the kids hold us down at all on a Weird Wednesday. All right. I'm hearing myself. We should be all right. You guys, let me know if you hear an echo in the chat. If you don't hear an echo in the chat, then I will live with it. Oh, man. What a day. My day start. This is going to drive me nuts. This is going to drive me nuts. Give me one second here. We're live. Well, I'm just going to have to deal with it. It's going to drive me nuts. Let me turn my headphones up. That'll help. Gosh darn it, we were off to such a good start too. We were off to such a good start. I felt great. And then I started hearing myself come through a speaker on the show here. Welcome to another Weird Wednesday, friends. I'm glad you're here. I'm Tony Merkel and I'm frazzled. Hopefully you guys are doing good though. We had a great weekend at the Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference. If you came out, thanks for joining me. That was just the cat's meow. I'll tell you, I had so much fun hanging out with people all day. And what the best part about it was, is I was able to do this roundtable discussion early on in the show. In fact, we were the first ones to go on stage. So it allowed me the opportunity to get my job done and out of the way. And then I got to just chill for the rest of the day. And so that's what we did. It was a lot of fun. I mean, the roundtable was great. We had Matt Pruitt, Matt Sieber, which is opposite ends of the spectrum. We have Matt Pruitt, who's an aper, physical, you know, Bigfoot is a physical creature out in the woods, I'm a science-based kind of guy. And then we had Matt Sieber, who's like, Bigfoot, it's probably Nephilim and probably has supernatural abilities. And I'm like, yes, 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 I like that one. And then we had Brian Jeffrey, who's like a medium, you know, not a medium, like a like a medium, but like in the medium, like in the middle. He's in the middle, friends. And he does a little bit of both. Physical, woo. I'm pretty much all over the place. Some days I'm physical, some days I'm woo-woo. And you can join me too. All right. Some dad jokes early in the morning, but that was a great time. Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference. If anybody wants to come next year, I'll be there, whether I'm speaking or just renting a vendor's booth. It doesn't matter. You can join me right there at the Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference. All right, friends, listen, we're doing studio rentals or renovations. That's why I'm sitting here at the table where I usually do in-studio guest interviews. We are changing Studio B. It's going to look completely different, hopefully, the next time you see it, or it's going to be like half done and you're just going to have to deal with it. But here in Studio A, we are going to be changing a lot. We might take maybe a 2 or 3 day period where we just kind of go offline and just spend the time not working on anything other than fixing this room up. New lighting, new walls, new decorations. We're even going to paint the ceiling tiles black so that it helps with the lighting in here. You know, I didn't really know exactly what I was doing when I built the studio. It's a trial and error kind of thing, and we're figuring it out as we go. So it's going to be fun, though. It's going to look a little different. I'm not sure exactly everything that's going to look different. The guest side is going to definitely look different. And my side is probably going to be a little different, but, you know, maybe a little same too. I don't know. But we're going to have some fun with it. And then we're opening up a third studio. So we're going to call that Studio C. I don't know. I should start naming these studios instead of just giving them the alphabet. But we're going to open up another studio, and it's going to be for in-person interviews, but it's going to be more of a calm, relaxed, just kind of chill environment. I've been seeing that becoming pretty popular. Like the table talk is very Rogan-esque, right? But the chill vibe is becoming a pretty popular thing too. So, we're going to build a new studio, and it's going to be more of a chill vibe, a chill, relaxed environment. And, you know, hopefully people enjoy the consumption of that content as well. It's going to be very neutral, just like this studio. This studio is pretty neutral because I just want to have the option to be able to do other things outside of the paranormal if I choose, or, you know, I'm thinking about opening up the studio to the public to use because it's a really good facility and I'm proud of it. So maybe we'll open it up to the public so that people in the local area can come in and start doing their own podcasting. I don't know, but it's going to be a neutral theme on the two big studios, but the remote studio where I do all my remote interviews, that's all straight up the confessionals vibe. It's going to be pretty cool, hopefully. But if it's not, don't tell me. It might hurt my feelings. All right. Listen, this episode is brought to you by MerkMerch.com. MerkMerch.com. I am wearing the new Mothman t-shirt. If you want to check it out on video, if you're listening on the replay, where am I going here? If you're listening on the replay, then you have to go check it out. Or you can just go to MerkMerch.com. The new t-shirt is available right there at MerkMerch.com. We are trying to sponsor ourselves. Guys, today I'm heading to North Carolina. I am leaving here after this live broadcast to hit the road, drive 4 hours to Charlotte, and I'll be participating in Armed Media Conference the next 3 days. It was originally supposed to be just for tomorrow, and then I was going to pack my bags, drive from Charlotte to Nashville because I was supposed to have Squatchella on this Saturday, this coming Saturday. But unfortunately, that event was canceled. And so I told Armed Media, I said, you guys got me for 3 days if you want me. And they said, yep. So I'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina the next 3 days. Pretty excited about it because last year I attended it as just somebody attending a conference. And the things I picked up during that conference propelled me through the year. And it actually is the biggest reason why YouTube and video production out of my camp ticked up over the last year. And we actually crossed 100,000 subscribers 2 Wednesdays ago, I believe. And that's really a big reason why, because I went to the Armed Media Conference and heard things I never heard before. And I learned a lot. And so I'm really excited about going back this year. And they asked me to speak. So I will be speaking at Arn Media Conference. And I just got notification that today that tomorrow, unfortunately, I'm going to be in North Carolina. But tomorrow, supposedly, my YouTube play button, 100,000, should be getting delivered to my house. And we'll be bringing it in here and hanging it up somewhere for y'all. But thank you very much, everybody who's been tuning in and hanging out with us in the YouTube platform. It's been a grind, but we are very, very glad that we broke 100,000 and we're trying to break 500,000 in the next 2 years. I think in the next 5 years, we can hit 1 million. So let's do it. I can't do it without you guys, though. I need you guys to share the stuff. So last announcement before we get into things, and let me just tell you guys, I had different directions to go today with the show. I came in here around, I think four. No, I got up at four. I came in here around five and I started working on things. I had a very clear direction I wanted to go. I had the name pop into my head, God's Gone Wild. And I was like, we're going to talk about the Olympic opening ceremony. I know there's a lot of people who talked about it already. It happened this week and it's been beat to death the first half of the week, but I didn't have a chance to talk about it. And I thought we would kind of talk about it a little bit and, you know, discuss, and the open phone lines will be here in a second. In fact, while I'm rambling, let me put this in the chat, guys. Let me just put that in the chit chat right there so you guys can call in. The link is there on Facebook in the comments section and on YouTube in the live chat. I will try to add it here on these platforms right now as well for you. So hang tight if you're looking for it and you can't find it. But I came in here and I was planning on talking about that and just kind of, I'm not here to educate people on ancient Greek gods. I'm not here to, you know, tell you guys, let me tell you my angry opinion. Listen, like at some point you got to stop getting angry about the stuff because it's just beat to death. Like, I mean, does anybody not expect these things anymore? If you're on YouTube and you hit refresh on your page, the link to join me live is in the description now. But I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, like we watch the Super Bowl for a reason, you know, like everybody likes football. Well, most people like football. Some people like football. Let's put it that way. Some people like football, but everybody watches the Super Bowl. But why is that? Why does everybody watch the Super Bowl? Because the halftime commercials, and, you know, oh, it's a ritualistic thing, the game. But there's also the reality that there's a lot of people that watch the Super Bowl because they want to see what happens at halftime. They want to see, you know, the performer, but the underlying messaging that happens at halftime. And, you know, this is a common thing that we have in this realm that we live in, have become accustomed to, which is that they do try to put subtle imaging into things to get past you. We can go back to Beyonce's Super Bowl in recent memory. She had a lot of imagery, the goat head for the stage. If you turned your head and looked at it right and winked one eye, you'd see it. But it's like, well, if you do that, you're just kind of exaggerating. No, they build it that way. They build it that way. They want to put it in your face in a subtle way so they can say, I told you so, when they do things. And so when you look at the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years of performers at the Super Bowl, you're probably hard pressed to find 1 year that the performance wasn't riddled with conspiracy when it comes to the esoteric nature of the performance. And, you know, I think there was a Katy Perry did one and she was kind of off the hook. Probably all started when I was a kid. When I was a kid back in the day, probably in the year 2000, Justin Timberlake ripped the shirt off of Janet Jackson and showed her boobies on stage. It was kind of crazy. For those times, I was like, what? You know, like I was like, oh no, that's the first time I saw that. But anyways, it was kind of nuts. And when I see these events going and stuff, I just assume there's going to be things that happen, you know? And I imagine you guys are probably in the same vein. And is it disturbing? It is disturbing. Do you get upset? Yes. I got upset when I first saw it. You know, everybody that watches me, I mean, if you're new here, welcome. But if you're returning, there's a probably strong likelihood you know that I'm a Christian, and I don't hide that. And so when I saw it, you know, it offended me. It did offend me. I didn't get outraged like seemingly the world did, but I think it's because the world is, you know, 5-10 years behind who we are. You know, they're just waking up. Like they're just realizing that Joe Biden has dementia, you know, like it's clear the guy is too slow, right? But if you plug into like conspiratorial and alternative media, you would have heard that for a long time. They just, you know, went through 2020 4 years ago. 2021, they were still questioning things. 2022, they felt comfortable saying, I think there's something going on here, guys. I mean, we've been telling you this for 20 years. So to expect the world to react any other way, nah, I think this was pretty much on par for the course. But for me, I was just kind of expecting it, and I didn't even watch the opening ceremony. I was at the conference, so I didn't, it wasn't even on the menu of options for me. But when I did see some of the stuff in the beginning of the day on Saturday, and I think it was Saturday, it had to be Saturday. I was in the hotel room. So when I saw some of the clips going around, I was like, oh, that's wild, you know, because it wasn't even like subtle imagery. And I saw there was an apology, and I half listened to it. But, you know, the director or the person in charge of the ceremony, not the director of the ceremony, but the person like in charge of putting things on was like, oh, we're so sorry, sorry, we're sorry, sorry. You know, it didn't seem like they were too sorry. And I think it's probably a lot to do with the fact that, you know, I think they're past the apology stage. I think they're past the hiding certain things, and they're more full blown into, we don't care what you think. But I'll tell you what I thought right off the jump. When I saw that on Saturday morning, my brother was there with me. He was helping at the event. Shout out to Jack. Oh, and by the way, I wasn't going to put this in an intro because I knew Jack would edit it out, but we're live, sucker. And so we're going to talk about it. Hey, lady, there was a lady at the conference who was probably around Jack's age, I assume. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to talk to her because she wasn't there for me. She was there for old Jack. He didn't realize that you said he was cute coming up to him. He found out afterwards. So I'm just saying, shoot Jack an email or shoot us an email. We'll forward to Jack if you want to get acquainted. He's single, ladies. I've said it. All right. Can't edit that out, brother. And I know you're listening right now. Sucka. Anyways, what was I talking about? My first thought. So I was in the hotel room, and Jack was there, and he actually had to sleep on a love seat because they only had one bed, and you know, we don't play that. So I got the bed because I'm king, and so I got the king mattress, and Jack got the love seat, and he barely slept all night. And when I opened my phone up and I looked at that ceremony, you know, just randomly, my first thought was, this is a summoning ritual. And this is probably went from a celebratory ritual to a summoning ritual. It probably went from a celebratory ritual to a defensive or offensive ritual. And what I mean by that is, I think that they had this planned, right? Like, it wasn't just suddenly they switched the script, but the intent behind it. We talk about these things on the confessionals, the intent behind things. And I think the intent behind this ritual changed dramatically over the last 2 weeks. The more I looked at the situation that happened in Butler, Pennsylvania with Trumpy Boy, the more I think that there's more to go, more to meets the eye other than just, you know, a kid that wandered on a property and somehow just snuck by the CIA. He could have been MK Ultra, to be honest with you. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago, but that whole situation seems like it's taken on a whole new perspective for me, not a whole new perspective, but just an added layer, I suppose. And, you know, it's because of what happened this past weekend. They had, this is just my, me projecting. Listen, friends, I'm telling you, I'm not that smart, okay? I just talk and I tell you what my gut says, and I am a dystopian. I am dystupid. I'm a dystopian futurist, okay? So I look at the future, I don't see good, and I just tell you how I feel about it. What's my reason for it? What's my educated reason for it? Just how I feel. That's just how I feel, you know? So it's really, don't take this to the bank as gospel, okay? But I think what I'll say, many of you agree with, and many of you feel in your gut. I think what happened, or part of what happened, is old Don was not supposed to make it a couple of weeks ago. And that was supposed to shift the timeline. Okay. Listen, my brain went all over the place. I'm going to try to tie things together today, but my brain is going all over the place today with topics. But CERN, we talk about CERN and shifting the timeline. I think that they've been doing this for a long time. And what we don't maybe talk about enough is that the timeline, I think, is shifting back and forth between different realities. And maybe not just back and forth, but here, there, and everywhere. They might be resetting timelines on multiple levels. And I think 2 weeks ago, it was supposed to be a timeline shift. I really think that probably was supposed to happen. But listen, I know I've talked about this years ago. Maybe I'll bring a guy on. He contacted us recently. He wrote a book called, I think called The Trump Code. And I think he talks about the idea of like Trump being a time traveler. I don't know. I got to look into it more. But we talked about this years ago when Trump first won, I think. And it was the idea that the whole idea of Trump being a time traveler, how Nikola Tesla had, you know, supposedly had information, documents that there was time travel involved. And Trump's own uncle, John Trump, was the one in charge of confiscating and going through that material. And he's like, nothing to see here. And then we come across Ingersoll Lockwood, I think his name was. He wrote a book called The Last President. And it's about this guy, Trump, who has his castle on Fifth Avenue in New York, which is where Trump Tower is. And this book was written before Trump breathed any breath of air. And his son, Barron Trump, I think it was, had, it was called Marvelous Journeys of Barron Trump. I don't remember. It was like so crazy and how in it, like in line with things were, you know? And so it, could Trump be a time traveler? And he saw this coming. Shout out to Larry Sharp for becoming a channel member. Thank you, sir. So like, could it be that there was a timeline shift, that there was like this offensive defensive thing happening 2 weeks ago? And I don't know. I'm just talking Marvel stuff now. Marvel at me as I talk about Marvel. But I think that the timeline was supposed to shift a couple of weeks ago and it didn't. Well, however that played out, I don't know. And so I think what happened here this past weekend was a summoning ritual in an attempt to shift that timeline again. I think it went from being a celebratory ritual of defeat, of conquering, that they conquered the timeline and it is now, you are ours. And there is no need to hide. We are going to tell you what we are and who we are because we have defeated you. Imagine 2 weeks ago, if that execution would have happened, there would have been chaos throughout the world. They would have still had the Olympics, almost certainly, unless we were in World War III and just wasn't safe, like almost certainly, 2 weeks later, they still would have had the Olympics after that was fresh in everybody's mind. And so what would have happened was it would have been this same thing you saw, only it would have been a celebratory ritual, putting it in your face. Look what we did. Look who we are. And we are going to tell you exactly what we're going to do to you and right in your face. There's nothing you can do about it. But I think what happened was that they went on the defensive, offensive, however you want to look at it. And they probably shifted gears with their intent to make it a summoning ritual. And they had the perfect cast of characters to do it. They had the perfect cast of characters to do it. I mean, not the perfect, like in all honesty, if you really want the perfect cast of characters, you got to have Beyonce in there. Maybe a little bit of Jay-Z.
you know, but of the music that they played and the people that they had, two of the people, the other people, I don't know who they are. I didn't have time to look at them this morning because I went down so many freaking rabbit holes this morning. I hope I have something to talk to you about. Maybe I'm doing a good job now. Give me a thumbs up in the chat if I'm doing a good job. Thumbs down if I'm not. But if you're giving me a thumbs down, you know, come on, man. I'm trying here. So if you really want the best cast of characters, and I'm just riffing with you guys. I really don't even know what the heck I'm saying right now. I'm just talking. I'm not even really looking at my notes. So. But if you really want a good cast of characters, you got to throw Beyonce in there, right? Maybe a little bit of Bill Gates from 1992 dancing on stage. You know, something like that. You want the good stuff. But when you have Celine Dion and you have Gaga doing musical performances, you can read into that, my friends. Outside of everything you saw. Listen, that got beat to death this week. That got beat to death. We'll probably hit on it. Why not? You know, we're probably going to hit on it a little bit. But that really did get beat to death this week. And I kind of thought that people would talk about more about the musical performances, but maybe they are. Maybe Isaac Weissup is doing his whole thing, and maybe Juan from 101 podcast is doing his thing. I'm sure they are, and they're going to do it better than me, by the way. So check out their podcasts. Check out their podcasts. But who do we start with? We're going to start with Gaga, and here's the thing, friends. I'm going to be 100% transparent with you. I cannot put some things on screen for many reasons today, but the video that I'm going to... I just got a text message from Jessica. I'm a recruiter at VM Agency. I'm tired of these scam texts, man, these like spam text messages. Whoever has my number and keeps putting that stuff out there, stop it. But what was I talking about? I'm sorry, I got distracted. Let me put that on do not disturb here so I don't get any more sidetracked. So I can't share with you what I want to share with you as far as the Gaga, or not the Gaga, the Celine Dion video because of copyright stuff. I have two copyright strikes on my channel right now. Oh, for what? That's what I said. For what? Stupid nonsense. I'm not even going to bother telling you about. It is what it is. Is it a copyright strike? I guess. But we're not going to take any chances because I need one of those things to drop off here soon before I get a third one. Because if I get a third one, the channel's banned for life and then I'll just be on Rumble. Show must go on though. So I will talk about things, and it's probably better for the listening audience anyways. But we're going to start with Gaga. Or did I say we're going to start with Celine Dion? We'll start with Gaga. So I was trying to get stuff together this morning, and it's just occurring to me now that I had these articles pulled up, and I was going to pull quotes from the articles, and I never pulled the quotes from the articles. I just have the articles here. And so I'm going to do my best here. But to lay the groundwork with Gaga, it's not Gaga who is the concerning factor at its origin points. But as Gaga evolved throughout the years, it's who she became associated with that is the concern here, because there is representation through proxy going on at the Olympics. So we are dealing with a global... Well, yeah, you know what? We are dealing with a global issue here. You know, it's not necessarily labeled as World War III, but many people say that you're not going to know if you're in World War III until it's over. They're not going to label it until you're already entrenched in it. So maybe we're already in World War III. Who knows? But we have the big hot topic, I guess. You know those graphs where it's like all these little bubbles on the screen, and the thing that's talked the most is a little bigger than the last bubble, and it's like this like visual. The biggest bubble on the screen is Russia-Ukraine. And Ukraine has so much that you could dissect on what's going on there. But one of the things that happened, I'd say probably within the last year, I don't think it was more than a year ago, probably less than a year, is Zelensky appointed Marina Abramovich as an ambassador for Ukraine. Now, who is Marina? Let me just rewind here for a second and say that he wanted her to rebuild the school system in Ukraine. Okay, that was her job. Marina Abramovich. Now, who is Marina Abramovich? Marina Abramovich is a very, she's an artist, and that's the nicest way I can put it. She is labeled as an artist, but it's very extreme art. She's had people, she's done things where she'll stand in a venue and she'll be like, I think completely naked or close to it. And she'll have people who are attending the event, just random people, come up and they can do anything they want to her, anything. They literally were allowed to touch her, do anything, come close to killing her. Like she wouldn't flinch. She would just let it happen. Like she literally put her life in the will of complete strangers. And there's a whole thing there, but there's a lot of dark underlying demonic power that is being summoned during these artistic rituals that she does. One of the things that she does is called spirit cooking. And, you know, there's a lot of ins and outs with spirit cooking, and there's a lot to talk about with spirit cooking. And it's been around in the stratosphere for quite some time. And she has done it in public venues a lot, several times. And every time she says it's not real, she's using, you know, fake things I think she's even said the intent behind it says a lot, and her intent wasn't whatever, whatever. So again, going back to what I was saying, the uneducated Tony, former truck driver, now podcaster, trying to riff with you guys, intent says a lot. There's the action, but the intent behind it. And with spirit cooking, I don't want to tell you what it is, because be honest with you, I'll butcher it, but it's something that when you watch it, it's pretty disgusting. In fact, let me see if I can do a word search here, because I remember reading some things here, and maybe it's in this article, and I will pull it up then. So, okay, so let's see here. It says, Marina Abramovich continues to be criticized for her niche art style. Some person on X shared a video of the artist dumping supposedly real blood on a sculpture of a child, okay? Now, is it real blood? I don't know. If it is real blood, it's probably came from a cow or a pig, but it's on video. It's the first I guess really known spirit cooking event that she did that was documented and put on the internet. If I remember correctly from the article, it said that that she performed it, excuse me, in 1987, and it shows her taking blood and drawing on the wall certain things, and she spills this blood on a statue of a child, and it's just really dark, really really dark. And Marina Abramovich has attended dinners with Aleister Crowley, which I kind of thought that was kind of, I don't know, like timeline-wise. I mean, I'm not the person to, I guess, talk about this, but I'm not the person to talk about any of this, right? But Joel Thomas from Free the Rabbits podcast, and Isaac Weissup, Juan from Juan on Juan, these guys would be much more educated on the timeline of this. But I always thought that Aleister Crowley died like long ago. And I know Marina is, I think she's got to be in her 70s, late 70s. I mean, she's pretty good. She's getting up there. But I just didn't know that timeline existed. But it says here in the article, Marina Abramovich became the talk of the internet. Here it is. After the 1987 performance titled Spirit Cooking surfaced online. So it happened in 87, but then it surfaced online and the cat was out of the bag. And that's when the ridicule happened. In the selection of, let me just skip down here, violence acts. It is also important to note that the aforementioned recipes were painted onto walls using pig's blood. There you go. The jarring art piece led to her being rumored to perform black magic with Aleister Crowley. at a dinner as well, describing the same Abramovich said in the post. It was just a normal dinner, just a normal menu, which I call spirit cooking. There was no blood, no anything else. We just call things funny names. That's all. That's all. We just call things funny names. That's all. I'm just hanging out with Aleister Crowley, having a normal dinner, and you don't got to worry about anything because we just call things funny names. That's all. With Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley. Come on now. Come on now. I mean, at some point, you got to say it, right? Come on. Say it with me now. One, two, three. Come on now. Okay? No. I'm not buying it, and the world's not buying it anymore either. Now, when was this article written? When was this article written? This article is written in September of 2023. So it's about a year old. I don't know how old that quote is, but like I said earlier in the show, 2021, 2022, people were comfortable questioning things, which is why certain people got fired from their jobs all over the world because it wasn't on the agenda. So fortunately for me, I can't fire me. And I will just say it. Come on now. So I'm trying to paint this picture with Marina Abramovich because Lady Gaga is probably her, well, definitely her most famous understudy, but probably her most, as Marina Abramovich describes her, hardcore student. Those are Marina Abramovich's words, not mine. Marina Abramovich is, this is projecting, but I'll tell you what I think. This is my words. Marina Abramovich is a witch. She practices dark magic. She does the dark arts, and she associates with people who are highly questionable, like the Podestas. Let me see if I could find a list here. I had a list here. Let me see here. Find Clinton, because Clinton is one of them, of course, right? It's the Clinton. Here we go. She's friends with the Clintons, the Rothschilds, Podestas, Gates. So she's associated with all the people that we say, I don't trust you. And for that reason, it's highly questionable having Lady Gaga in the mix, right? So Lady Gaga, I think back in 2010, went to Marina Abramovich and told her, I basically adore you. I want to be your understudy. I want you to teach me everything you know. Enter into the dark world. That is probably happened before 2010, but I think in 2010 is when that conversation happened. And so what happened was Lady Gaga went and had a powwow for, I think, about a month with Abramovich, where she trained her breathing techniques. And I think they even filmed this. It was on one of Abramovich's websites. I don't know if it was for sale, like you had to pay for it or what, but it was a training session of Lady Gaga in the mix. And she was doing all this weird stuff, like these hums, and they put her out in the woods, blindfolded her, completely naked. That might be a lie. Somebody fact check me on that. But she was blindfolded out in the woods, doing these rituals, learning this, what I would say, magic. Magic isn't always sexy, but there's a real thing when it comes to the position of your body, the intent behind the position, the intent behind what you're saying, what the tones are around you, the frequencies, to do certain things, summon certain things. These people are summoning dark entities, friends, and they've been doing it for a very long time. And Lady Gaga has been an understudy for Abramovich for a very long time. So the fact that Gaga was at the Olympics during the Dionysus, I think is how you pronounce it, whole shindig with the, you know, the blasphemy with the whole Last Supper. Oh, well, you know, was it Michelangelo? Was it Michelangelo that did that painting? The artist that did that painting, he was mocking it. I heard that and I get it. You know, like the painting literally itself was a mockery. But it doesn't overstep the fact that it's a depiction of the Last Supper, and we all know what it has been historically associated with and what light it's been associated with and what happened there. Let me just put it this way. You can go down the rabbit hole of all the craziness involving that whole ceremony. If you look at specific stills that have been circulating around of the Last Supper during that ceremony, you'll notice several things that if you look hard enough, you'll see. One, there's a child. The children constantly come up in these situations, whether it's Marina Abramovich spilling blood on children, whether it's the children being manipulated in certain things, whether it's, I forget what my other example of that was, but children constantly pop up in this. Okay. Don't even get me started on the history of certain people that I mentioned that Marina Abramovich associates with. I gotta figure a ways to do word soup here, friends, live. But you can also see the positioning of the people in these pictures. And what their positioning is typically opposite of what the actual painting shows. Now, I know it was a video and the people were moving around. I've seen the video. You don't got to tell me it was a video and people pick and pull certain stills. But again, intent, putting things in front of you, coding things. There are certain stills that it seems like almost everybody is doing the opposite, whether it's the opposite physically with what they're doing physically or the opposite of what the people were there. I mean, maybe we'll get to this here. Hopefully we'll get to this here. I'm trying not to make this show too long because I got to drive today. But hopefully we get to the point with Dionysus and some of the things he's involved in. But everybody on that stage represented female. Everybody. And that is a strong nod to Dionysus. But it's also inversion. Because everybody on that stage, I don't know if everybody was on that stage. But there were some people on that stage who were inverting their biological sex from birth. And so the whole depiction is inversion, which is a very satanic thing that happens a lot. And when you have the eyes to see it, you see it. And I think that has probably been talked about a lot with people, I'm sure. So we're just going to backtrack off that and get back on to these artists. Celine Dion is the other artist. Oh, that was the other example with children. So Celine Dion, as far as I know, there was two American artists that performed there. I saw a list of the artists, music artists, and I only recognized two, and the rest of them I couldn't even pronounce. So I assume they were foreign from other countries that were representing their country. But we had two American. Well, no, shoot, I don't think Celine Dion is American. I don't think Celine Dion is American. American. Celine Dion is not American. I don't think. And I only say that because I've heard her accent, so she's somewhere else. Anyways, my point is this: Celine Dion had, I don't know when this happened, a couple years ago. I remember seeing a couple years ago, she had come out with a children's clothing line. I think it was a baby's clothing line. Babies were represented in the commercial for it, but let's just say a children's clothing line. And right there is inversion, because the children's clothing line was a gender neutral clothing line. So it's like, let me take that back, actually. Like, I don't want to say that's inversion. It was a gender neutral clothing line. You could take the clothing and put it on any kid and it would look good. Okay. Let's just leave it at that, because I don't want to say that's inversion, because I don't think that actually technically is. There's unisex t-shirts for a reason. But the commercial, I wish I could show you the commercial. I just don't know. I think I was talking to Jack this morning and he said that I can play 5 seconds and I have to pause it. Or else it becomes copyright strike. And so you can do 5 seconds, pause, 5 second pause. And that's just like, it's just too risky. It's just too risky. So I'm not going to play, but I will talk to you about what is in these images. And you can kind of check it out yourself. All you got to do, all I did was Celine Dion children's clothing commercial and it came up. You'll find it. But it shows her, there's theatrics involved. So I'll just jump to the main part here. It shows her in the car talking about, it's like her thinking out loud. And she's talking about how the children are our future. And we often look at children as we are like, basically like we're the main character of their story, but we're just an afterthought. And it basically the whole idea is that we shouldn't control kids and kids should be in charge of controlling themselves. Listen, I'm not going to go down there. So there's that, right? And then it shows her holding a bag with a white cross on it, which is, I think, the logo for her clothing line. It was her introducing this clothing line. And then it shows her walking into, I presume, a hospital, maybe a NICU, where there's just children lined up. And she looks angry. Like, she really looks like she's ticked off. She's dressed in all black. She was in a white dress in the black car before. And now she's just wearing all black and she looks freaking angry, hair down, looking like she's going to kick some butt like Angelina Jolie and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Like, that's what she looks like. Like, she looks like ready to rock. So she's walking in with this bag and she walks into this baby's room and there's blue blankets, blue blankets, pink blankets, babies, just beautiful babies. And, you know, it's happy. It shows the different sides of the room, and it shows the babies now go from being varied from pink to blue to the boys in the blue are on one side, the girls in the pink are on the other side. And it's this clear distinction that it's boy and girl. And this is where she performs her magic spell in the commercial. And she literally in the commercial changes these children to be gender neutral. This is the visual depiction of it. And she changed in the commercial. She pulls out a container with like these like black diamonds. Shout out to my buddy, Black Diamond Guns and Gear. But she pulls out, I like promoting people, guys. I just do. She pulls out a handful of these black diamonds and she just blows them into the air over the kids. And the black diamonds turn into like this gold dust. And as she blows it over the kids, the room in a flash just snaps and it changes. And it goes from this bright lit blue pink room, happy baby, welcome to the world environment to a black and white room. The white crosses are now lit up on the wall. They're like a hospital crosses, almost like the equal cross on every side kind of thing. And it's just everything's black and white now. Which, mind you, I wear a lot of black. I think black's a great color to wear. It's very slimming. It's very slimming, but I don't think these kids are very worried about the slimming nature of their bods yet. Just yet. It's only until later in life that we ruin them, right? But it shows that everything changes. There's a creepy doll in one of the baby's, I almost said cages. What is this? Donald Trump putting kids in cages? No, we're putting babies in little bassinets, clear see-through bassinets. But in one of these bassinets, it's like a stuffy, and it's like this black stuffy with white eyes that look like they're glowing because they're so white on the black body, and these white fangy teeth that are coming out the top. It's scary looking. It's literally scary looking. Like, I wouldn't want to sleep with that, let alone a baby. And so it's this whole thing where it's advertising her clothing line. But as you look at this, all right, so all you're seeing is like, this is kind of creepy. This is kind of creepy. I don't know about what you're doing, but it's kind of creepy. And when they show close-ups of these kids, I'm trying to find it here just so that I don't have misremembering. But yeah, here it is. Come on, kid, get up there. There we go. Now, some of it can be the way you shoot it on camera. But some of this, when you look at it, you literally can see it's printed like that. There is a child wearing a white outfit and black stars on the outfit. Now, listen, I know stars mean many things. I know Christians back in the day took the star and had the representation of Christ because of the five wounds that he was inflicted upon or had afflicted upon him. And so each point of the star represented that. I get it. The United States has stars. Everybody has stars. the Republican Party has three stars on their elephant that just so coincidentally in like the year 2000 got inverted to a pentagram. Very interesting. Very interesting. I don't know if they changed it back. For a while, the only thing that changed on the logo was the stars were turned upside down. Well, I don't make the rules, friends. I just tell you what they are. But on this baby's in the commercial, there are clear prints of inverted stars on the clothing, pentagrams. I'm trying to draw a picture of inversion. I'm trying to draw a picture of the connection to the Olympics here through, whisper down the alley. It's a domino effect. It's not always right the first thing you see. It's the underlying thing behind it. There's a reason why Celine Dion was there. There's a reason why Lady Gaga was there. And I'm willing to bet if we look into all the other people I had no idea about, most of them, if not all of them, have sketchy things. I'm willing to bet it because, again, I believe that this was a summoning ritual meant to be a celebratory ritual 2 weeks ago. It was the same thing that they had planned 2 weeks ago, but the intent behind it changed. So, man, I hope you guys enjoy this stuff because I may not last much longer on YouTube. I think I'm keeping it within the lines. Like, I'm just talking. But the next baby in this commercial is, and I'm looking at the video on YouTube, I'm just describing what I'm seeing. But the next baby in this commercial that they slide over, the camera pans over to, is a baby wearing all black instead of all white. And instead of stars, there's words on the baby's clothing. And all it says is New Order. Oh, the New World Order. Those conspiracy theorists, they're going to start talking about the New World Order. Those, yeah. Well, listen, what is the New Order? Well, you can say the New Order is a new order of doing things, a new way of doing things. There's a new order on how we do things, how we perceive things, how we talk about things, how we raise our children. I'm sick and tired of these celebrities and these politicians on both sides commenting about how it takes a village to raise our children. It takes a whole people, group of people. Back off my kids. Don't talk to my kids. Don't look at my kids. Leave my kids alone. They're my children. They love me, not you. I'll raise them. Thank you very much. And that's to everybody. I wasn't planning on getting angry, but it irritates me, okay? Leave my children alone. Leave everybody's kids alone. There's a family for a reason. The family will take care of them. It doesn't take a village. It doesn't take everybody's opinion on how we raise our children. Leave us alone. If the children aren't being harmed, leave them alone. Anyways, so New World Order, and then just shows her getting arrested and, this whole skit. But there's a lot of subtle underlying imagery that is being projected in this commercial. Again, the two artists that I knew of that's jumped off the page at me right away with this thing were very interesting selections. I mean, like I said in the beginning, why not Beyonce? Like, why not Beyonce? Like, let's just go all in. Maybe Beyonce is beyond it now. Like, Lady Gaga is not a high, well, maybe she's a high priestess, but let's just put it this way. Lady Gaga is not higher than Beyonce in the dark order of things. And Celine Dion isn't either. Like, she's over the hill kind of thing. The best years are behind her. But Beyonce, maybe Beyonce's like, nah, I'll sit this one out. I'll send my minions. And we'll talk about minions here in a second because Dionysus had, I don't know how to pronounce what they called it, but let's just call it minions. And they were all female. Very interesting stuff. The parallels. So let me see here my notes real quick. I have the golden calf here. There was a golden calf. We could go into that in the biblical references. I think it's Exodus. Let me look it up here. It was Exodus 32. Yeah, Exodus 32. You can look that up on your own. But Exodus 32, there's a whole thing talking about the golden calf and what that means. We're going to skip over the Last Supper creation because it's been beat to death. Let me mention this. So the people that are talking about the other aspects of this, and specifically the woman that was headless, holding her head, singing. It was very like evil looking, right? Supposedly that was a depiction of the French Revolution. And so that was the intent and meaning behind it, at least publicly. But when you pair it with everything else, it almost takes on a double meaning. And they love their double meanings, don't they? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Say with me now. 1, 2, 3. Double meaning. Yay. So let's get in on the Dionysus, because I think I'd be remiss if I didn't bring him up a little bit at least here. But also, I want to talk about CERN real quick, because this is where my brain started melting this morning, because I forget what I even talked about. Oh, the timeline shifting with CERN, right? And I was talking to you about this timeline shifting earlier in today's show. And it got me thinking about CERN, man. Like, and I don't even know if this has anything to do with today's show, but let me just get it off my chest. Like, CERN is like the gift that keeps giving. Like, the more you think about it, the more ways you learn, the more ways your brain sees it. And you have, like, we had a CERN episode earlier this year, I think it was, with the pastor Larry Ragland. Shout out to him. And the Big Picture show on YouTube. Probably banned soon, but I'm actually having dinner with him tonight in Charlotte. So I'll tell him you all said hi. But he and I did a CERN episode. I'm sure we talked about the statue of Shiva, the mock sacrifice that happened years ago. Like, this is stuff that has been happening on governmental world stages for a long time. Everywhere you look, where there's a organization that seems to be doing things for this new world order type of environment, whether it's searching for God particles, or it's the World Economic Forum, or it's the Super Bowl, they all have these weird things that they do that makes you just look, surely there's an explanation for that. Surely it can't be what I think it is, because, you know, they're really smart people. Why would they do such things? Sometimes it is just what it is. And you just have to put on the right lenses, have the eyes to see it. We talked about the statue of Shiva and how they did the mock sacrifice. I don't think it was a real person. Maybe it was, but I personally just, my gut doesn't say it was a real person. I think if it was a real person, I don't know. Maybe it was a real person. I don't know. But I started thinking about the mission of CERN today, and it just got me like, I don't know, like things that we already know and talk about, but it just got me in my bag of feelings, you know? Like, CERN is trying to recreate the universe. And it's science trying to recreate the universe. Literally on the foundation of that, just that statement alone proves a creator. Like, science alone trying to recreate the universe, they're literally trying to prove the existence of a creator for a universe. If they're successful in recreating a universe, they have proven that universes are created. There's a creator. They didn't randomly do it. They didn't accidentally create a universe at CERN. They designed it. They created it. And it got me in my bag, man. I was like, geez, dude, like, it's right there. It's right there. Again, you have to have eyes to see it. Anyway, so they're trying to create a universe, and I'm just started thinking the connection between the creator, whether it's God or humans in the science lab creating a universe. You got universe over here, and you got the creator over here, whatever that creator is, whether it's the God creator or the scientist trying to create a universe. Universe and creator. What's in the middle? What's in the middle of that? On one side of this existence is the universe. The other side is the creator. And at some point, the two touch. At some point, the two become connected, where the existence of one can't exist without the other. Creator, created, creation. But at that moment of touching, that moment of connection, what is that? Is that the portal that we talk about? The doorway between that the doorway that's often closed that separates us from the creator. We are in creation. We are in the universe. Is that connection, that touching point, is that the portal that Babel was trying to create? Which, by the way, I saw a really funny meme. Stop. I'm going to go off. But is that the point? Is that the creating point, the connection point? Is that the portal? Is that the portal bridge that I talk about? Where you're here, but you're not here. We think about portals as like a thing you walk through almost, where it's like you're either one side or the other. What if you exist on that portal? there's a point where that portal exists, where you can exist on the portal, where you're on both sides. And when that creator and universe touch, is that the portal? Things that I think about at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know? So anyways, I just had to get that off my chest, you know? So here we go, kids. Let's get back on topic here. Dionysus, yes. Greek gods. Gods gone wild. Let's go. Well, listen, I don't know. I looked around, not very hard. I'll be honest with you, not very hard. But I couldn't find any references of Dionysus painted blue or looking blue. But my wife, when I got home on Sunday, I was home Sunday, and her and I were talking about it, and she's like, there's something to do with this blue stuff. Like, there are weird characters throughout media and content and things that signify blue characters. And it's like, what is that? I don't want to go into that though, because that was my wife's thought and she's smarter than me. So like, I wouldn't be able to relay the message. So Dionysus, let me pull up my text message that I sent to Joel, because I had all the screenshots in there. Joel, there you are. Let me scroll up here and reference points. There we go. Perfect. So let me go down here. So I'm just looking at Dionysus's, is that proper? Dionysus? Yeah, I think it is. His Wikipedia page. Dionysus, this freaking god of old, probably still exists today, has a Wikipedia page and your boy don't. Somebody needs to change that. I'm just kidding. Don't change that, because I don't know what y'all are going to put on that thing. So one thing that I saw here that I want to point out, it says wine was a religious focus in the cult of Dionysus. Mind you, this is me talking now, not me reading for those listening. In 186 BC, the Italians banned this god of Dionysus. They banned it because of what it did. In fact, you know what, let me do? Let me pull the demon machine real quick here and see what it says. Who doesn't want to hear from a Nephilim trapped inside of a thing housed called AI? Let me pull it up here. Did the Italians Did the Italians ever ban the god Dionysus? And if they did, why?
Could you clarify what you mean? Are you asking about a specific event or period in Italian history?
Did the Italians ever ban the god Dionysus? And if they did, why did they?
Yes, the Roman Senate did ban the worship of Dionysus, known as Bacchus in Roman mythology, in 186 BCE. This ban, known as the Senatus Consultum de Bacchanalibus, was issued due to concerns over the secretive and potentially subversive nature of the Bacchanalian rites. The Roman authorities feared that these ceremonies, which involved ecstatic dancing, drinking, and other activities, could lead to social disorder and undermine traditional Roman values. The decree restricted the practice of Bacchanalia to small state-supervised gatherings.
Thanks, Demon Machine. So there you go. They did. And I wasn't lying to you, unless that's lying to us. It could be lying to us. Can't trust the AI, friends. So they banned it. And, you know, with what I'm reading, I can understand why. So wine was a religious focus in the cult of Dionysus and was his earthly incarnation. Wine could ease suffering, bring joy, and inspire divine madness. That's weird. That's weird. Why divine madness? Why that description? Why the description of divine madness? To me, I wrote here, divine madness sounds like insanity through possession. That's what it sounds like to me. When I first read that on Sunday, I read divine madness. That's the first thing that came to me, that it sounds like insanity through possession, willingly bringing on the insanity through possession, divine madness. Festivals of Dionysus include the performance of sacred dramas, enacting his myths, and the initial driving force behind the development of theater in Western culture, AKA Hollywood. The cult of Dionysus is also a cult of the souls. His Maenads. I think it's called, you pronounce it Maenads. I call them minions, and I referred to them earlier. Here's why. Dionysus is also a cult of the souls. His quote unquote minions feed the dead through blood offerings, and he acts as a divine communicant between the living and the dead. Read much. He is sometimes categorized as a dying and rising god. Dying and rising god. I had thoughts on that earlier and I lost them, so I'm not even going to focus on that, but it is interesting. Just think about it. I don't know what, but just you think about it, you let me know. Dying and rising god. But let's go back to the minions feeding the dead through blood offerings. I don't know how, but in my gut, like I said earlier in the show, I'm just speaking from my gut, how I feel. I feel like feeding the dead through blood offerings has parallels with spirit cooking. I don't know how. Like I said, it's just my gut feeling. But what are these Maenads? M-A-E-N-A-D-S. What are the Maenads? Or I call them minions, because they're pretty much the same thing. So when you click on that and you read it in the Wikipedia, which you can always trust, in Greek mythology, Maenads were the female followers of Dionysus and the most significant members of Theasus, the gods of, I don't even know what that word is. So they were female followers. They were the minions. I think that's just, take it as you want, but you have Dionysus doing his, listen, I'm really glad my kids didn't watch it. Like, you know, like, he was really exposed. And he's doing his genital dance. And bro, like, seriously? Seriously? All right, let me put it this way. I haven't gotten out much this summer. I haven't been outside much. My skin, it's gotten browner, but it didn't get that crisp look that I can get during the summertime. You give me about 5 hours out in the sun, I'm extra crispy all summer, right? I'm not outside a whole lot. And I'm hoping to change that next summer. But I also gained weight this summer because I wasn't outside. I usually gain weight during the wintertime. And then because I didn't go outside a whole lot and do a whole lot of physical strenuous activity this summer, I actually put on pounds. And I was creeping up in weight. And I was like, freak, man. Like, I actually got to watch what I freaking eat. And knowing that I had the Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference last weekend, I got ARN Media Conference this coming week. I'm doing several trips. I'm going to be out of state several times this month. I am speaking at Phenomicon, which I think I forgot to announce earlier. I'll announce it more as time goes on. But September 4th through the 7th, I'll be at Phenomicon in Utah. Get your tickets. Link in the description of this video. I know I'm going to be speaking at Phenomicon. I know I'm going to be at, forget the name of it, but in October, I'm going to be at Justin from Cryptos of the Corn event. Like, I'm going and I'm doing public things. So I'm like, bro, you need to trim some of that fat around so you feel comfortable with yourself. Homeboy goes out on stage looking like a bag of bones and skin. Like, he just looked like almost like he was like just a little short of a beer belly in my mind. Like, he just kind of looked sloppy. And I was just like, bro, like, do some squats or something. Like, if I had your job, like, I'd be like, yo, gotta jack up. Give me the steroids. I gotta look godlike. Trying to get laid, you know? So anyways, he's dancing around like that. And he's doing it on stage in front of a mockery of Christ in the Last Supper. They say it wasn't a mockery. It was a mockery, okay? It was a mockery. No matter how you cut it, it was a mockery. We all know what the Last Supper is and what it stands for. And all the people on stage were either biologically a woman or transitioned to female. So you have this god, Dionysus, dancing in front of his minions who are all female. And it's just reestablishing my point. This was a ritual. This was a ritual brought on through dark means to, I believe, reset timelines. This was summoning very powerful entities, very powerful. And I say entities because I believe it's more than just demonic entities. That's why I say entities. Yes, it's easy to say demons, but there's a real possibility there was fallen angels being summoned in my mind. And there's real possibilities that there was ancient gods being summoned in my mind. And that I do believe there's a distinction between ancient gods, fallen angels, and demons. So I believe that they were summoning very dark entities. Oh, I forgot LeBron James carried the American flag. Forgot LeBron James. LeBron James, King James, carrying the United States flag for the United States. LeBron hangs out with Jay-Z and Beyonce. LeBron's ritual. Look at it. I've talked about this years ago. Just go look it up. You go look at it. LeBron has a very specific ritual that he does in pregame that has symbolism written all over it. He's got the Bublé tattooed on the Black Bublé Society emblem tattooed on his chest. LeBron James, his son. Let me ask you a question. If LeBron James's son had the number 666, oh, don't say it. You're scared of it, Tony. You skipped episode 666. If LeBron James had the tattoo number 666 on his body, would you all flinch at that? Would you all say that's peculiar? Well, I'm here to tell you he doesn't have 666 tattooed on his body. But what he does have tattooed on his body is 999 behind his ear. And when we talk about the inversion that I hinted at throughout this entire talk, there's a real thing to look at with 999 and the inversion of it. So they tell you without directly telling you many times. And you got LeBron James, Captain of America, Captain America, King James, going on 22 seasons in the NBA. Not slowing down because he probably drinks blood of younger people. Just kidding. Trying to think right now if that's going to get me in trouble. No, we'll find out. We'll find out. It isn't, guys. If at any point this channel gets taken down, know that I didn't do it. Just go find me on Rumble. That was the one big thing that I was worried about. I was worried about doing live videos that I don't have Jack being able to edit out certain things that I say so that it's friendly on YouTube. Oh, well. 400 people watching this right now. If you're on any platform watching this, please go ahead, do the free thing and just hit the like button. I'm not asking you to share it. I'm not asking you to like what you're hearing and seeing. Just hit the like button because I earned you to hit play. I earned that. You hit play, so I earned the free like. Anyways, so Dionysus dancing, all that stuff. I didn't even talk about the pale horse. It's all right though. We'll pat. Those are obvious things, right? In Revelation, the pale horse. People talk about that ad nauseum. So, here's one for you. So remember how I said that it was saying here. Where is it now? So I can just repeat it for you. For those tuning in. Oh, I'm on the wrong page. There we go. Festivals of Dionysus include the performance of sacred dramas enacting his myths and the initial driving force behind the development of, oh, that's the wrong one. Oh, here we go. Wine could ease suffering, bring joy, and inspire divine madness. And I said about, you know, the possession side of it, right? What is the divine madness? And I suggest that it is, let me pull it up here. Insanity through possession. Willingly insanity through depression. Willingly bringing that on. It also says here, those who partake in his mysteries, the festivals, like what we saw on TV, what it was talking about here. Come on, pull it up, sucker. Wine could ease suffering. So the drinking of wine, the religious focus of the cult, Dionysus, wine was the religious focus of the cult of Dionysus and was his earthly incarnation. So he's being incarnated through wine. Okay. Let me repeat that for you. Wine was a religious focus in the cult of Dionysus and was his earthly incarnation. Wine could ease suffering, bring joy, and inspire divine madness. So if wine is the vehicle of his earthly incarnation, and wine, the effects of the wine were ease suffering, bring joy, and inspire divine madness, that inspiring of divine madness could be willingly taking on the possession. Insanity through possession. And then it says here, those who partake in his mysteries are believed to become possessed and empowered by the God himself. So listen, I just rattled off that stuff. Come on, you're reading into it. It said, well, you can't always believe in Wikipedia. Okay. I know you said you can, but you really can't. But it says here on Wikipedia, all right, those who partake of his mysteries are believed to become possessed and empowered by the God himself. So we had this giant ritual with tons of stuff going on. Lots of underlying symbolism with Celine Dion, Lady Gaga. We have the man himself, Dionysus, coming on stage, wagging it around in front of his minions and a child. And in his description here, it says, those who partake of his mysteries, everybody who was performing that ritual, everybody who watched it and cheered it on, everybody who willingly wanted that to happen, those who partake of his mysteries are believed to become possessed and empowered by the God himself. It was a giant summoning ritual. Whether it was Dionysus, fallen angels, demons, other ancient gods. I mentioned last week with the UFOs at the assassination that we are witnessing literally the spiritual warfare from the other side of the realm, from the other side of the veil, spilling over now. This is another example. I rambled on long enough. Hopefully I tied things together or I made you think I'm crazier than you originally thought. Either way, I'm good with that. Hopefully you come back. If you don't, you'll catch me on a farm field farming with my pigs and living off-grid. That's what I'd do. If this was no longer an option for me, talking to you guys, I would just go farm, live off-grid, and cease to exist on the internet. Sounds nice. But here we are. God has us here, so we are here. That is my half-baked attempt to give you my thoughts on some of these things. And I had some random things here too this morning. So let me just hit on that real quick before we get out of here because I just think it's stinking interesting. One, I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning and I came in here and I opened up the good old Instagram and the first thing I see is this reel talking about how I have nothing to say about this other than what the reel said. So like anybody who's heard of this before, has thoughts and stuff, please let us know. Let me know because I don't know if this is Tartaria stuff or if this is like clouds or fake stuff. My friend Shane Cashman over at Tim Pool's camp keeps talking about these fake clouds in the sky. I'm like, bro, the clouds aren't fake. And he's like, they're fake. And I think what he means by that is all the toxic and crap stuff that we're putting in the air and the things that we're doing and that gets evaporated in the air, the clouds are now pretty much not what they're supposed to be. They're fake clouds. I don't know what he's talking about. He's a smart guy though. But this reel shows what seems to be old pictures that are cut out and put on top of a white background. Like they're cutting the sky out of these pictures and giving them a white background. And when you zoom in on them, you see actually the cut marks on it. And I was like, that's interesting. Like I never saw that before. And I didn't even go and look to see if I could find an old picture that's like that. But I found it interesting. And maybe you guys know anything about that. But more than likely, I'm probably not going to buy into it, to be honest with you. You know, but even if I don't buy into it, I like hearing things and I find things interesting, whether I like it or not, as far as belief goes. But I also came across an article kind of going into a little bit more detail. What we discussed, was it last week or the week before? I think it was the week before when we talked about Iron Don and his suit going to the moon and how they found a crater on the moon, like a giant cave on the moon. Well, I found more information. I didn't find it. It just came up. It's like the algorithm knows me. They're like, oh, you talked about this. You want to hear more? I do want to hear more. The discovery of what looks to be the first cave on the moon at the bottom of the lunar pit, 200 feet deep, has jolted the scientific community and spurred hope. It could be used as a base to protect future astronauts from the harsh lunar surface. Holy crap. We've talked about these things before. We've had Tony Rodriguez on the show. I think it was like episode 90, episode 91, years ago. And he's talking to us about how he's in the 20 and back program. And when he was in the 20 and back program, he's been to the moon. There's secret bases on the dark side of the moon. There's aliens working with humans on the moon. There's bases on the moon. And now they're saying that this discovery of a cave could lead to us being able to actually have bases on the moon that protect us from the harsh environment of the moon. Space Force. Again, our reality of what we talked about for years spilling over into modern times. Soon you're going to start hearing people talk about it like it's normal. At one time, it was crazy conspiracy. Bases on the moon, you're crazy about. Why would you? You're stupid. You're a moron. Yes. Yes, I am. But it doesn't negate the fact that there are bases on the moon. And now they're laying the groundwork for them to actually tell us we have bases on the moon. And this cave probably already has a base in it. Like I said, it was in the Sea of Tranquility where the Apollo 11 mission landed in 1969. Ooh, I nailed that. A couple weeks ago, I wasn't sure if it was 1969. It says here 1969, right? Apollo 11 landing where humans first landed on the moon on July 20th, 1969. That was just a few days ago. All right. So what is significant about the moon cave? The width is estimated just over 328 feet. That's pretty darn wide. The pit consists of a sloping floor and hangover sides with a depth of more than 400 feet. That's pretty stinking deep. They have radar view of looking into it, I guess. They're just projecting here, but that's their mathematical formulas. The lunar cave could provide a permanent base to shield the astronauts from the moon's hostile conditions. Temperatures inside lunar cave are believed to be relatively stable at around 63 degrees. Unlike Earth, the moon doesn't have protective atmosphere, which shields the planet from solar or cosmic particle radiation. There's that radiation thing. You know how we can't get through the Van Allen belt now? Because of that radiation that didn't exist back in 1969. Temperatures are extreme, ranging from 260 degrees Fahrenheit in daylight, that's hot, to minus 280 degrees after nightfall. According to NASA's temperature, blah, 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 blah. In the permanent shadows of deep craters, like the one we're talking about, the cave, some as low as negative 410 degrees. So I don't know where they think, how they can get off with saying that the stable temperature conditions would be 63 degrees in the cave. But when they're talking about permanent shadows of deep craters are actually 410 degrees, negative 410 degrees, wouldn't the cave be in a permanent shadow, meaning that we're in negative 410 degree? But mind you, maybe the moon is not what we've been told it is. And maybe the core is warmer. And that cave is a ventilation shaft with the heat coming out and allowing us to have the 63 degree temperature versus surface craters that are constantly shadowed that would be having negative 410 degrees. I don't know. That's just the uneducated guess of a guy who's sitting here on a microphone. Thoughts though. It's thoughts. Maybe they're already on the moon. They already have a facility up and operating inside the moon that gives off heat, and the cave system is already nicely heated to a comfortable 63 degrees year round. There are more caves located on the moon, supposedly. Now, that I find that interesting too, because, well, actually it says pits here, lunar pits. I think they're laying the groundwork for us to, for them to come out and talk about how there's multiple cave systems on the moon. We exist on the moon. And that we have bases there. We operate there. It's a satellite station for us to launch to other places. And, you know, hundreds of lunar pits have been discovered on the moon. How many of those lunar pits are actually caves or have caves? You know, I think it's very likely that that's the case, that there are plenty of other caves on the moon. Who knows how deep and far they go? Is the moon hollow? Turns out it is. So I just found that interesting. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but it just turns out that they went into more detail about this, and looks like that is a pretty big cave. I saw somewhere here the when they landed in 1969 in the Sea of Tranquility. Let me see if I can find this real quick. I can't find it, but somewhere they mentioned about the width of the Sea of Tranquility, and that it was like 200 miles wide. So that's a pretty big wide thing. So I suggested a couple of weeks ago when I talked about this that, like, how could they have missed this cave? If you're landing in the Sea of Tranquility and there's this cave in the Sea of Tranquility and you're exploring the Sea of Tranquility, how could you have missed this cave? You knew it was there. Well, maybe they did miss it. 200 miles wide. That's pretty big. There's a lot of land to cover, especially in a cardboard box. So maybe they just missed it. I don't know. Trying to keep an open mind here with my closed mind. I hope you guys enjoyed this, though. I can only imagine some of the things I said. Hopefully I didn't overstep anything that would get me in trouble. Not with you guys. I don't really care. If you guys don't like what I said, you'll just stop listening. Actually, no, you won't. You'll just keep listening more just to hate. I've learned that. But no, I'm hoping that I don't really get in trouble with the YouTube because I'm over here trying. And I'm about to speak at a media conference. Wouldn't that be funny? I go on stage and I'm like, yeah, 2 weeks ago, we broke 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. This conference is a big reason why. And as of noon today, no longer exists. That would be funny. I'd be frustrated by it, but it is what it is. But I hope you guys enjoyed this time spent with me on this weird Wednesday. Yeah, I'm going to start winding this down. And, you know, I wasn't even looking. I apologize. You guys could have called in. There's nobody in the waiting room right now. I gotta get better at letting you guys know to call in more just to remind you. But, yeah, this show is brought to you by Merc Merch, friends. I'm wearing the Mothman shirt right now. This was a hot, hot seller at the Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference this weekend. The number one seller above all t-shirts was the Always on the Hunt olive green t-shirt, the military green, the Always on the Hunt with the Bigfoot carrying the AR. Number one seller, just like on the website. Number two was the Mothman over my freaking logo. So that's how it is. I like the logo though, and hopefully you guys do too. But go ahead and check it out, mercmerch.com. I am trying to, sponsor myself. I just said no to another advertiser. I've said no to about 5 or 6 advertisers in the last month because I'm trying to sponsor myself and get rid of the live reads. I'm on contracts with some companies, so I can't just bail on it. But my goal is to have mercmerch.com be that replacement. And so I think you guys would be much more willing to enjoy mercmerch.com over complete strangers to the show, you know? And so, and one I refused yesterday actually is a company that I use or I used to use. And I was like, oh, and I was like, no, not doing it. So please help me so I can help you. If you guys don't like the commercial interruptions on a story-based podcast, let's support MerkMerch.com. Get yourself some t-shirts. Oh, the hats sold out this weekend too. The hats sold out this weekend. That was pretty wild. I didn't expect that. I only brought maybe 10 hats, 10, 15 hats, because I was just basing it off the website sales. And man, I think they sold out in the first hour. It was pretty wild. It was pretty wild. Then we had to take the hats off the mannequins and sell those. But anyways, we got hats on there, logo hats. They sold out fast this weekend. Mothman is now available to the public. It was available to members only last week, but now anybody can get the Mothman t-shirt. I love this thing. I really do. I think we're going to do more color. We're going to do more color t-shirts. My thing is this, guys. Like, I have zero style. My wife, if I look good, it's because my wife dressed me, okay? I've already told you how I used to show up to dates and cut off t-shirts and basketball shorts when I was younger. I have zero style. I tend to wear just black t-shirts with nothing on them because I don't know what else to wear. And like I said earlier, black is slimming. But I'm going to start doing more color t-shirts because it turns out color t-shirts look pretty cool. So you guys can look forward to that. Hopefully look forward to that. All right, guys, listen, weird Wednesday. I got to come up with some kind of sign off because I feel empty. I can't do the confessional sign off. So we got another weird Wednesday in the bag for you. This was a good one. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Educated you a little bit on Dionysus and his intense. That caught me off guard. I'll see you.
Wake up, it's Wednesday, feel the morning light. World's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly. Let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning. Let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright. Wake up, it's Wednesday, feel the morning light. World's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong, and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Weird Wednesday, wake up, start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it sippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.